Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's show. My special guest is Keith Leon S. He is a multi-international best-selling author and book publisher, as well as a speaker who's known as the Book Guy. His life purpose book called Walking with My Angels, A True Story, with a foreword by Chicken Soup for the Soul's Jack Canfield, is already available in get yourself a copy. Keith has appeared on many popular radio and television broadcasts, and his work has been covered by Inc. Magazine, LA Weekly, The Huffington Post, Published Magazine, and Succeed Magazine, just to name a few. He has spoken at events that included Jack Canfield, Bob Proctor, Neil Donald Walsh, Barbara DeAngelis, John Gray, Michael Beckwith, and Marianne Williamson. And he's also a member of the Evolutionary Business Council. Keith is an accomplished singer and songwriter and had made music with Stevie Wonder, Ben Vereen, Nancy Wilson, Carl Anderson, and the Wood Brothers. His passion is teaching people how to go from first thought to bestseller and create what he calls the world's greatest business card. He also loves introducing people to their inner guidance system, whom he calls Heavenly Helpers. And for more information, you can visit the website walkingwithmyangelsbook.com. Again, that's walkingwithmyangelsbook.com. And after halftime, we're going to have Keith let us know about some special deals you can get by visiting that site and purchasing the book. So with that, I'd like to welcome Keith to the show. Good day, Keith.
Good day. How are you? It's my pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I am happy to have you with me. And I love talking angels and all kinds of things supportive. So we're going to have a good old time. So I guess the first place to start would obviously be with angels. So can you tell us how did that all start for you?
Oh boy, me hearing the angels' voices started when I was just a child. I had a mother that was mostly depressive and in the bed, and didn't have a father because my parents divorced when I was two, so I really needed help, right?
Mm-hmm.
I needed some support, and so I got that. In that my guardian angel is, we all have at least one guardian angel with us. And I just got to where I could hear my angel's voice. And that voice kept me out of harm's way many times and even saved my life a few times as a child, kept me from being molested behind a church. And so I had contact, if you will, since childhood. And it was really a blessing in my life.
Yeah. Now I noticed in reading the book that you have a sister Tina, but she didn't have that same perception as you, did she?
No, she didn't. Like many people, I'm sure she had, but didn't notice. Right? I think we all have access, but it's really in order to access this inner guidance, this inner knowing, or help, if you will, we really have to sit, ask, and then listen is the most important part, is to really listen for the answers when we ask them. And when we bring that focus and awareness to looking for an answer to a question that we asked, we really bring a focus and awareness to that, then we start to notice all the ways that the angels are showing up for us throughout our day. Sometimes for some people, it's a voice. You know, some people will see an angel. Some people, they'll ask a question, and then somebody they don't even know will walk up and just deliver a message and walk away. And that message was exactly the answer to the question that they asked. I might ask a question and get in the car, and the first song they turn on the radio is the answer. So So they show up in just so many different ways, some of them more subtle and some of them just no doubt. There's no way you could deny it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And I really want to talk a little bit later about, you know, the just the variety of ways that the communication can happen. But now with your mother, you mentioned the manic depressive aspect, but she too had that maybe a heightened sense like you or you know, at least supported you with what you saw and felt and talked to.
Yeah, she really did. There were times when I was like a skateboarder, and I was really good at it, like, you know, professional skateboarder. And she was like, "Oh, don't go out today; you'll fracture your wrist." And then I was like, "Ah, whatever. You know, I'm a great skater. I know what I'm doing. I'll go out and then that day, and then fracture my wrist." And so my question was like, "Did you see that I fractured my wrist, or did you create that I fractured my wrist by saying it?" She's like, "That's not a great question." And so she did. She would see things and know things and did advise sometimes, especially later in life, not always when I was really young. But yeah, she did have premonitions, and she called it mother's intuition. And so, right?
Yeah.
She didn't call it angels or ESP.
Right.
She called it mother's intuition. But her mother's intuition was spot on only every time. And so so that kind of brings to me to share really quickly. Like I call our heavenly helpers angels because I've had evidence of angels. I've seen angels. I've heard angels. I've heard this called so many different things. I've heard it called intuition. I've heard it called divine guidance, spirit, God, universe. And I like to say that it doesn't care what you call it as long as you call it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is so true. I mean, we seem to be fixated on trying to identify and categorize things that it can really get in the way, some, you know, in many ways.
Yeah.
And yeah, so now and I understand that, you know, the child, in addition to having your mom have that manic depression, that also it just wasn't a real there were challenges, you know, growing up. Now, I used to live in Long Beach, so when I read in the book that it was like, you know, between Long Beach and Compton, it's like, ah, I know exactly where that is, you know, and it is a rough neighborhood.
Yeah, it's 61st and Atlantic. So, yeah, it was definitely.
So,
Atlantic
now, do you think, okay, now I too had, you know, some challenges. One of the things that, like in my case, I had a mother who was like super negative. And I always, you know, it just always grated me and resented me. And I had spent years trying to combat that. But then, you know, I ended up having to focus on positivity and, you know, overcoming those. So, I mean, it ended up that rough challenge ended up being a springboard for what I was going to do later. Do you feel that maybe was the same with you?
Oh, sure. And the interesting thing is when I, going back, when I first started talking about my guardian angel, she, of course, like everyone else, thought, oh, you know, I had an imaginary friend. But then all the things that I was saying that the angel said came true, right? One of them was funny. She was sitting around with her friends, and my angel said, tell them to buy gold. And so I go, oh, my angel's telling you guys to buy gold. And they're like, oh, he's adorable. Oh, he's so cute. He's an imaginary friend. And that was that time during the 70s where there was this massive spike in gold. And I mean, I think the price of gold tripled, quadrupled. It just went through the roof. And they did not listen to me. And then that happened like the next day and the day after. And then and they just didn't take advantage of it. But then they did come back and say, so what else does your angel say? What did you tell them next? And so I go, they want to know what you wanted to tell them next. And he said, well, he's telling me to tell you, you had your chance. You should have listened to me when you had the first time.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And then some things that happened when I was really young with my mom came true later. Like we were walking up the street and there was this little girl that was playing out in front of her apartment complex. And my angel said that woman is going to be your wife when you grow up. And so I told my mom what he just said. And she's like, oh, that's cute. And so we had like a running joke because we would be walking by there all the time. It was in the walk to go see her boyfriend who owned a liquor store. And so we'd walk by and she'd be like, oh, there's your future wife, you know. And even when we would go and take a left at the alley to walk to our house and walk next to the apartment complex, if she wasn't out front, sometimes I'd hear her playing in this one window. And so I knew, oh, that's probably her bedroom window. So fast forward, I meet her when we're like 19 years old, and I know it's her because my idea of my perfect woman is this girl all grown up, right? And so I know it's her when I see her. So I meet her and I talk to her, and eventually I tell her the story that this angel told me that we were going to be married. And so on our way home from that kind of first date where we met, and this is all in the book, go into more detail, but we're driving home and she's like, okay, so then if you know where I live, then we go by there. So I told my friend, okay, get off the freeway here, go up that street. Okay, there was your apartment complex. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, can you take a left up the alley? And so he takes a left up the alley and I point to a window and I said, I believe that was your bedroom because I heard you playing in there all the time. And she's like, oh my God. And everybody in the car is like, what? She's like, this is where I grew up. That was my bedroom. And so she sat with it for a little while, and then she was like, well, I mean, if an angel told you, I guess I should at least check it out, right? See if this goes anywhere. And so she did end up being my first wife, which I call her my practice wife, but angel said we'd be married, didn't say it would be forever.
That's right. They didn't, you know, if they had said that she was going to be your first one, they'd be like, well, why do I even need to go there? Why can't I just go to
exactly.
the real one?
I love that. Exactly.
Oh, well, that's a great story, you know, and you know, it's wonderful that you had that communication and was supported. And, you know, that's a really important thing I like for, you know, listeners out there, if they're parents and their child, you know, is showing that extra sensitivity, just to be very aware and supportive, you know, because one of the things that I've noticed throughout the 8 years of doing the show is that, you know, the people who have that connection quite often, you know, experience it very young, and that, you know, whether they follow it or not, or support it or not, it just seems to be just so much better if the parents can support that particular, you know, support them in that.
Yeah, when you're young, you haven't thrown the walls up that block that connection. You know, people haven't told you yet, oh, no, there's none of that, right?
Yeah.
And, my son likes to share with people. He said, you know, when I went to my father and said there's a monster under the bed, my dad looked under the bed. I mean, he never went, oh, yeah, whatever, kid. He went and checked it out because just everything that I grew up with, there would be no reason for me to dismiss him.
Right. You know, that's great. So now let's talk a little bit about walking with my angels. I understand that you were told quite a long time before it was published that you would be doing this, correct? Can you tell us that story, when that started?
Wow. Well, okay. So I had the time when I was a child and I could hear my guardian angel and save my life many times as a child and kept me from being molested, and all this great stuff happened. And then when I was 8, something tragic happened and my mom said she needed me to be the man of the house. So I really stopped being a child from that point on. I just took that on, right? I took it on. I need to be the man of the house. And I started doing that full time. And then also, when you read in the book, I had a lot of drama in my life. So as I became a teenager, drama continued, and I mean continued. And I just got to the point in my late teens, 18, 19, where I just started numbing out with drugs and alcohol, and I didn't want to have to look at and or process, this is the word I would use, all the things that I had been through. I didn't know how to deal with this, so I started just numbing out and not doing anything. So my belief system and my connection with my angel and everything, out the door. And so I'm really not believing in anything by the time I move up to Fresno, California. And at one point, I'm 22, 23, and I get this job as a bartender at this blue-collar bar. And there's this really mysterious but cool guy that I see the first day that I'm there. And he hardly says a word, but when he says, when he speaks, like, everybody leans in. They're listening, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, like, really intrigued by this guy. And so so I get to know him at work, chatting him up, and then eventually I say, hey, do you want to hang out after work? And he's like, yeah, I'd love that. So now we're hanging out after work, and he's asking me all these questions about my belief system. And he's finding out at this point I don't even have one, right? And he's thinking to himself, well, that's interesting because he knows stuff. So at one point I'm wearing a ring that my stepfather, who my mom met when I was eight and got married. He died like 5 days after the wedding, and he died with his ring on. And I have this ring on my person, and I'm the only person that's worn it since he passed with this ring on. So my friend says, well, can I see that? Do you trust me? I said, yes. He said, can I see the ring? And so he takes that ring and he puts it in his hand and he does what's called a life review. And he tells me everything from the second I'm born until the point at which my stepfather died with that ring on. And I could tell he saw what happened because he just like cringed and handed me the ring and said, I could have went my whole life without seeing that. And so now I'm like, whoa, because there's no Google in 1985, you know.
Even like, then,
there's no way he could know the stuff that he just said to me, especially at the detail of which he said it. So I started to at least believe in him, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he's got something. He's got powers, you know. And so then we get to know each other a little bit more. And then he asked me again, "Do you trust me?" And I love he led with that both times. Do you trust me? I'm like, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "Okay, then I guess I should tell you. I should tell me what." And he said, okay, you know how people call earthbound angels people that kind of just do good deeds for them? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, that's true, but that's not really the definition of a true earth angel. I said, well, what is? He said, well, earthbound angel is, and by the way, I am one of them. I'm like, okay. And he said, earthbound angels are like, I was an etheric angel, so I was spirit, and then I'm dropped into a body, so I'm an angel in the flesh, have come to the earth, and there are a lot of us, and we're assigned to certain people. So I've been assigned to you. We're assigned to certain people to keep them from dying before their predetermined expiration date, and so I am to take you from believing in nothing, which is where, you know, where you're at when we met, to believing in everything, that all things are possible. There's not only more that you can see, but more than anything, right? And I have to get you to that place because in order for you to live into your life purpose, you must believe that all things are possible. And so I'll be working with you to get you to that place. And I, at some point, I will. Your life purpose will be revealed to you, and then also I will save your life at some point. And once I do that, then you have to let me go because I have to go then and do it for someone else. So that was a lot to unpack.
Wow, right? I would think so.
And to deal with in my mind, but ultimately he did exactly what he said. He spent more than a year, about a year and a half, by my estimation. Showing me miracle after miracle after miracle. And that's my favorite part of the book is, you know, what are the things that he had to show me, have me do, him do, you know, to take me from believing in nothing to believing in all possibilities. And so I write about a whole bunch of those things in the book, which were just each one of them incredible in their own right. And so he spent all this time with me, and then he did which is now getting to the answer to your question. One of the things he did was toward the end of our time together was he facilitated an out-of-body experience. And I really get into detail about that, but I'll just kind of go through it quickly. You know, I raised out of my body with him. We flew, you know, through the ceiling, over the city, over into the mountains, down to a huge bonfire. And around the bonfire were beings of light, entities, ancestors, just everybody was there, right? Mm-hmm. And they all shared with me why I was here, what my purpose is on the earth. And they gave it to me kind of like in my steps, my next step. First you'll do this, and then, oh, and then you'll do that. And then another one shared, and then you'll step into this, and then you'll do this. And so they just downloaded everything I needed to know to live into my purpose. And then I flew back, you know, came back into my body. And when I was saying to my angel, because he wanted me to describe to him the next day what happened, like he wasn't there, but he wanted to hear my words on it. And when I explained it to him, I said, I know that they all gave me wisdom. I know that they all told me things, but I can only remember what the one said. And why can I only remember what that one said? And he said, because your mind couldn't even deal with everything that they told you. Like, if you could remember what they told you, we'd be fitting you for a straitjacket, and they'd be getting uh-huh. you some medication straight away. So what that one told you, that's your next step. That's what you are to do now. And so what will happen is, over the years, each time that it's ready, it's time for your next step, then you'll remember what that one said. And you'll remember what that one said. And it'll come in visions. It'll come in dreams. It'll come in, you know, many different forms, but you'll remember. And that will always be your next step. So one of the things that they told me is you will write a book called Walking with My Angels, a true story, and it will be your story of how you've worked with angels and the miracles that have happened because of it, and people that you've been around and shared, and how you showed up as an angel for them. And you know, it's just, it'll come at a time when people need good news, right? When there's, right now is the perfect, there's never been a better time get the good news, right? Then all the news that they're feeding us all day long on every station but yours, right? So now's the perfect time for that, and that my message would be about direct access and helping people tap into their own inner guidance system to getting answers to their own questions, because truly, the answer to every question that we have is right here within us. We need to only go inside and sit long enough to hear the answer, to access the answer to any question that we have. Like, we already know the answer to every question. We just have to listen for the answer. So I'll be teaching people how to tap that source, how to see evidence of angels everywhere all around us, and to be ultimately to do all the things that we read about in the Bible, that we have stories that we've heard, you know, all the miracles,
mm-hmm. yeah,
kind of stuff happens in the movies in your life every day.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, and that was quite some time ago, correct? Before the book was just out this year, correct?
Yeah, it was 26 years before they said it's time to write, and that's like. Part of the book too. I was on a hike and a friend said, when are you gonna write that book? And I said, yeah, exactly, when am I? Oh, sorry, that's not for you, that's for them. And then next thing I know, they're like, it's time. And I was like, thank God. And sprung into action. But even then, it was like I cranked out, it was really three books, and I cranked that out in 8 days, right? Three books in 8 days. And then it ended up getting edited down to one good sized book. But that's unheard of in itself. And then I was thinking, oh, great, I'll get it edited and we'll just put it out. And then they're like, no, wait. And I'm like, oh. And so it was years from when it's the time to write it to it actually coming out. And even when I went to set the date, I'm like, okay, so it's all done. We're going to set a date. And then I go, so what's my next step? And then it's like, hire the top numerologist in the world and set a date. So I do whatever I had to do to find the top numerologist in the world, because that's pretty subjective, and then found that person, hired them, and then they chose a date, but they had said, well, either you have to put it out in the next month, right? Or you have to wait a year, because that whole year is the worst time that you could ever come out with anything energetically, because who you are. So then So once I hired that person, I had to wait a year and a couple months more just to release the book. And
wow.
So it was just an exercise in patience for me. So it's 30 years from you'll write this book to it coming out. And so many times I was like, why, which is never the right question.
How
can I be more loving? That's a good question. What can I do to be more, like, those are great questions. Why? Not so much. Because you'll keep getting, the universe will go, yeah, why? And keep giving you evidence and reasons to ask why. But so that's a whole nother sermon, right? So so finally I got the date. Come out with the book, and by the time it came out, I could see all the reasons for the wait. So clear, and even in that last year, just all the things that unfolded in that year in the world, right, in our universe, to show why this is the perfect book at the perfect time to support people, and kind of their promise was. I don't know if you read this. I put it right on the cover, which that was a gutch. But one of the things that they told me is that anybody who held the book in their hands would be raised to the next level of vibration. And so I said that for many years to friends of mine, and it wasn't till many years later that I realized. I go, wait a minute. They said held in their hands. They didn't say read. Isn't just hold it in their hands and you're raised to your next level of vibration? So I started thinking of the implications of that, right? Somebody buys a book, they hold it, they throw it on their table. Every person that comes over picks it up and goes, what's this book? And flips through it for 5 seconds. Boom, you just got what you needed. Right? The rest is just just fun, great stories or whatever. But all you need to get, what
on,
you need to get is to hold it. Yeah. So so I just thought, whoa, that's an interesting promise. And so what's been fun since the book came out is hearing people put words on that.
Yeah.
Here's what happened to me since I read the book. Like one host of a radio show hadn't read it yet. She just picked the book up and looked at the cover while we were on the air. And then she was like, whoa. And I'm like, what? She's like, whoa. So my co-host who's read your book, right? She just handed me the book and I'm holding it. And right now I'm just like, I'm buzzing. Like, what's happening with this book, right? As she's holding it. And I go, flip it over, see where it says, whoever holds it in their hands will be raised to the next level. Well, you're downloading whatever you're supposed to get right now. It was like on air. It was so cool. She was like, whoa, I could feel that. That is no joke.
Well, and just imagine how many people from the time that it's printed to the time it's sold, it touches.
Yeah.
So, the ripple effect is quite large.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wow, boy, that's some. Yeah, now I had not as dramatic by any means, but I was told in the early 90s about writing a book that I would do it in 2012. And my background is the corporate world. I was in a corporate trainer in banking and restaurants. And anyway, so I got to a time from that time. And when they said 2012, it was like, in the 90s, that was like forever. At least I'm going to live till then, that's a good thing. In the interim I tried to write, and every time it came out like a training manual, so I knew that wasn't the book. And then one day it came, and it all kind of fell together right in that year, and self-published. But it was interesting because virtually all of the content was in that interim period. Were things that I had to learn, do, experience that were all part of the story, really. So it kind of like I had to live the story before I could write the story.
Oh, that's so interesting. You used exact words that I use for authors when I'm talking to potential authors. And that is like, as soon as you say yes to writing this book, right? So that's make the commitment, say yes, right? Whether it's deposit, whatever it is, right? As soon as you say yes, then Spirit, God, the universe works it out so that the people who are going to read the book live through, go through, and experience exactly what they need to, so that when your book comes out, it lands in their hands at the perfect time. And it's just so interesting because you use like those exact words. It works that way.
It must have come from your buddy. So now you kind of casually mentioned about that guardian angel saving your life. So I understand that you've had a near-death experience or two. What can you tell us what happened?
So many. I should have died 8 times already. Wow. Let's see. Which one was your favorite? Which one should I? I mean, oh my goodness.
Let's do that first one, because that was the guy, you know, that was the earth angel that was, you know, supposed to be there, you know, for you. Was that the first one that you had?
Which one? That was way later. I had so many, even as a child. Like one of my favorites, I was like at a camp, and I was really young at a camp, and the teenagers were out on this cliff, and the cliff was super slippery, but they're sitting out there. And I'm like, let me come out there and join you. And they're like, no. I'm like, come on. And I just harassed them incessantly until they finally were like, all right, whatever, kid. So I came out and was hanging with them on the cliff. And when we got up to leave, it was really slippery. Did I mention it was slippery? And my feet came out from under me. And so I'm sliding down the cliff. And I went over the cliff and just threw my arm up in last second desperation. And one of the kids grabs my wrist. And he's like, help, help. And the other kids like formed a human chain. Meanwhile, I'm dangling. This is like straight out of the movies. I'm dangling from my arm and looking down, and down is like, you're gone, right? It's like quite a fall. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead kid. And so they form a human chain on this super slippery cliff, by the way, which shouldn't be happening anyway. And as they, and I put that in air quotes, pull me up, I feel light as a feather. I feel from underneath me like I'm being picked up on a cloud, and I just am being lifted from underneath, right? So they're just like, whoa, and then they pull me up, and they're like, ooh, and they're feeling like they're heroes, and I don't really want to tell them that they had some extra help. But that was like one time where I just should have been a goner and got some support. There's a few car accidents. One of them was really, really incredible. I was like 17, and in that one, I saw a life review. They call it where your life flashes before your eyes, like a movie, and it happens really, really fast. You see all the main moments, you know, all the good, all the bad, all the main moments of your life, and then it happened really fast all the way up to that moment, and then it stopped. Mm-hmm. Like it went stopped, and then it rolled in reverse, like a film going in reverse. And then I came back.
Yeah.
And when I came to, it was like I was sitting with my friend in a car on the side of the street. The accident had not physically happened, like in the physical world, but we both saw it. We both heard metal ripple and glass break, and you know, saw our life flash before our eyes and everything. And then we went over and looked at the thing that we had hit, and there was proof that we had hit it for us. Just amazing, right? So that's like another one. And then ultimately, my angel did come to me and save me, as he said he would, in dramatic fashion. And so that's just 3 out of 8. And there were 7 when I wrote the book, and 1 since. So it's 8 now.
Well, now, do you need this update every now and then, this review?
Well, it's good to have stories for on the road, I guess. Maybe that's my number 8. Just be able to tell something somebody hasn't read already. And that's happening to me now. It's like everywhere I go, people will be like, oh, my God, when this happened to you when you were 5. And my first thought is like, how did they know that? You know, and then I go, oh, the book. Because there's nothing that I didn't, like, tell in this book. Yeah. I mean, it's the most vulnerable piece of work. Like, everybody knows everything about me now. So if anybody goes like, ooh, whatever, he's a kook and disappear, then I'll know that they read the book.
They have a different view of things. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's great, you know, that you did this. And the one thing that I've learned through, and I've read a lot of books, is that what readers can really identify with, you know, bits and pieces. If you're authentic and you put yourself out there, people can identify with that. The circumstances may be different, but the feeling and the hope, the inspiration, the challenge, the difficulty. I mean, there will be that emotional connection. And if you make that emotional connection, you know, what you try to put forth, then, you know, the message is just received better, I think, you know, more at soul level.
Yeah, and anything that, like, they gave me the subtitle, a true story, anything that says that, you can't hide. You're supposed to just say everything.
Right.
Say it all, put it out there.
There you go.
Like
it or not,
okay.
You know, there'll be those in both categories, you know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You just want the ones that kind of relate anyway. I mean, save some time. And,
right.
So now you were lucky in that you were able to, you know, have that communication, you know, be able to recognize it and have that communication. It sounds like it's clear communication. So for me, it was not that way. And it's, to this day, it can be challenging. For people out there who have difficulty in making that connection to their guardian angel or angels, what are maybe a couple points that you can let us know of ways to facilitate that?
Yeah, cool. Well, let me preface by saying we all have at least one guardian angel. So there's no doubt that you have one. And they only have two jobs that are jobs. One is love us unconditionally. So they're like your mom. There's nothing you could do that will make them love you any less, period. Another one is get us to our predetermined expiration date. So when you hear of miracles like mom lifts car off baby, or you're in a car and you swerve from hitting a car and you're like, dude, I don't know how to drive like that. There's no way, right, that I should even be here right now. Like, all of those things are evidence of your guardian angel, and if you do one of the two jobs that they have. So those are their jobs. Because we have free will, anything other than that, they're not to intervene unless you ask. So we must ask for support. So if you haven't asked and you have no evidence of angels, that's why, right? Because they can't do anything until you ask. So some of the ways that you can ask, and like the most important one, the one that I love to teach people, is sit, ask, and listen. So first of all, you could do an angel evocation, and that's just talking to your angel. You know, hey, guardian angel, I would love to know you. I would love to know that you're there. I would love to see evidence of you. So show me that you're there, and tell them some of the ways you're open to, right? I'm open to hearing your voice. I'd love to see you. Or if you show up in another person, what's the exact message I needed to hear? Like, however you want to show up to me, I am now going to be looking for you so that I can see the evidence of you. And then you'll just see evidence everywhere you look. But if you have a specific question that you would love an answer to, it's what I teach people is called sit, ask, and listen. So a lot of people sitting, right? Prayer, meditation, people are sitting a lot. They're asking a lot of questions. I hear a whole lot of asking. Why? How? What? Questions.
Right.
But how often do we really, really sit long enough to get the answer? Do we really listen until we get the answer before we get off to the next thing? We have so much noise going on in the world that it's easy to just go on to the next thing and forget. So sit, ask, and listen. Listen being the most important part. I did a book project called Who Do You Think You Are? Discover the Purpose of Your Life completely changed my world. I got 10 people from the movie The Secret. I literally went from Keith to the book guy. I'm speaking now in front of 1,000 people instead of 20. I knew how to get on the TV and radio, and my business was booming, all because of this, what I'm teaching you right now. I would sit down, I'd ask a question, and then I would not move until I got the answer. One time I waited 2 days for an answer. And the only time I got up was to go to the bathroom and eat. That's it. Other than that, I was sitting in that question. So, and what I got as the answer was a complete game changer. Like, it was how to ask all these incredibly famous people to be in my book. Why would they say yes to that? How could I get their attention in an email so much? In an email that they would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I downloaded what I now call Right Asking an Elevator Email. And all that because I sat there for 2 days. So what if you don't have 2 days and you have to get up and go somewhere and you just asked? Great. Keep asking the question as you go through your day. So you're driving in your car. Keep asking the question. Keep the radio off. Keep asking the question. Maybe something tells you turn the radio on. You turn the radio on, and then the very next song answers your question. It's the developing the muscle of listening for the answer that you will receive the answer to any question that you have, because you're already tapped into the source that created everything that is everything. You are made up of that. You are that. So you have absolute access to it. But only if you're paying attention.
Yeah. So, is the, you know, earlier in the show we talked a little, we only got a few more minutes, but I want to grab this one in. Before the show, during the show, you mentioned that as far as asking questions, there are better ways of asking than not.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us just throughout maybe a couple ideas of what would be a better way to phrase a question?
Yeah, great. Thanks for asking that. Why questions are always the wrong question to ask. If you say, why does this keep happening to me? Then the universe goes, yeah, why? And it keeps giving you more reasons to ask why.
Okay.
You'll just keep perpetuating reasons to ask why.
Okay.
So a how question or a what question, those are good questions. How can I be more loving? What is my next step? What do I need to do to make a difference in the world? How can I be more giving? How can I see evidence of you angels? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to see more evidence of you? How and what questions are questions that when you receive the answer, you'll be like, yay. Why questions? Not so much.
Well, I don't usually ask why, because a lot of times, you know, I recognize that, you know, maybe years before I know why. So I usually don't. But
yeah.
I'll tell you from now on, if I do come up with a why, I'm going to nip that one in the bud real quick.
So yeah, let me rephrase that.
Yeah. Scratch that. What I meant to say was, Well, now, Keith, you have workshops or what do you have up and coming, you know, that the listeners may want to get involved with?
Yeah, well, if you go to Beyond Belief Publishing, that has my schedule there, beyondbeliefpublishing.com. My schedule is on there. So we're just booking events. I'll be touring the country for the next year. And I'll be going not only in the U.S., but Canada, Europe, and Mexico as well. So I will be speaking at events all over the place. And that's really where you can find those. We're booking them right now, and we'll be putting them up on the site very soon.
Great. And now I know you're on Facebook, so I'll be able to follow you there. So I really want to thank you for your time today. Keith, this has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. And then also if you go to walkingwithmyangelsbook.com, walkingwithmyangelsbook.com, there you can not only get the book, but if if you put in your order number, you'll get tons of free gifts, like $1,620 worth of free gifts from really cool people that will support you in this process and get you into action with what we were just talking about on this call. And it's just,
well,
if you're going to get the book, if you're going to get the book anyway, you might as well get all the gifts.
Exactly. You know, and you can just touch that book and then move up to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you did that. Thanks. I was going to do that, take a break, but I just got so involved in our conversation, I forgot to take one. That's great. So, well, thank you very much for your time today, Keith. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Keith Leon S. We've been talking about his book, Walking with My Angels, A True Story. And again, go to the website, walkingwithmyangelsbook.com, get yourself a copy, and go ahead and pick up on all of those special deals that he has to offer. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Remember, our show is available as a free podcast from Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. To follow our show, visit our homepage at byteradio.me and select the platform you use most. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at ByteRadioMe. Until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.